Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. We hope our weekly broadcasts bring you comfort as you hear the Word of God. I'm thankful for having a godly father. You know him as Pastor Salem. His impact on my life was immeasurable, and I am grateful that his love for Jesus was abundantly evident in how he lived his life. He wanted everyone to hear the good news that Jesus loved them. That continues to be our goal at CWH, to carry on with Dad's messages that he preached for 76 years. The message is and will always be the same because the gospel never changes. I am so glad I can share with you portions of letters, notes, and emails we received. From a comment on our website from Tennessee, I watched Heart of a Shepherd this morning on your website. Thank you for sharing this film. I've always enjoyed Pastor Salem's preaching and hearing the letters read. From Iowa, thank you for caring about us and keeping us in your prayers. I'm so thankful to have found CWH. I love to hear Pastor's voice. I can understand what he is saying, and I can't wait for the weekend to come. You mean the world to me and help me in my everyday journey. And from Kansas, I am so grateful for the Christian Worship Hour. The music, prayers, scripture, and message every week gives me the desire to do better in the next week. Thank you for sending me the items I requested. I pray for your program can continue for years to come. Today in Dad's sermon titled, Why Do the Righteous Suffer? He speaks to these two questions most people have thought about. Why do bad things happen to good people? And why do hard things in life happen? We hope this program will be of encouragement to you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I just want to tell you that we are thrilled every time the week comes by and we can come back and see you all over the world. And I just wish I could see you personally. And you know, if you put your faith in Jesus, you just trust in the dear Lord Jesus, we're going to see each other in heaven. And won't that be a glorious time, a wonderful time to get together? And now today we're going to be talking about why do the righteous suffer? Why do bad things happen to good people? Now our letters, our wonderful letters. Here's Tulsa, Oklahoma. I wanted to write and tell you how much I enjoy your television show. I try to watch it every day. I'm a university graduate of Oklahoma State University. My sister and my mother also live in Tulsa, and thank you for your help. And so here it is. This is a college graduate, and this tells us this. The Bible is relevant to every age and every culture. I don't care what your background is. I don't care where you live, and I don't care what your age is, and I don't care if you're educated or not educated. This wonderful Bible will speak to your heart. It's the word, the living word of the living God, and it's wonderful to preach that. Now, here's a letter. I've been getting these letters now for almost 40 years, 39 years. We're a 39th year, going on 40. I never had a letter like this. So listen, wake up and listen to this. You're going to like it. It comes from Austin, Minnesota. And this person writes, this is a story about how I found you. I wasn't with God. So on one Sunday, I was looking up at many channels, and you popped up, and I looked at your hair. I'm a barber. I've cut hair for many years. I wondered how I would cut it. You comb your hair in a different way. Before I knew it, I was hooked on what you were preaching, and I stayed with you ever since, and that is how I found Jesus through your hair. Look at how God, see, comes to a barber, he comes with a haircut. And a farmer, he'll come through a tractor, shepherd stray sheep. God just has so many ways to work, see? And so he says, I found Jesus through your hair. Thank you for all the good times I've had hearing you on Sunday. I'm still wondering how I'd cut your hair. Well, when we get to heaven, we'll see maybe if St. Peter can help this poor barber to cut my hair. See, I like my hair. It's what God gave me. It's two cowlicks and starting of a bald. And I just think it is wonderful. But isn't that a nice letter? God bless this man. Here's a letter from Dannemora, New York. And this is a man in prison. And he's writing and says, I believe in God, and I believe that he sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins, and I try to serve him the best I can. Now listen to this. But one thing I lack of, Pastor, is the Holy Spirit. So what must I do to receive it? There is something I'm not doing right, or the time has not yet come for me to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say there's two things in this letter. First of all, he talks about the Holy Spirit as it. The Holy Spirit is a person. For instance, you have in John 15:26, where Jesus said, "But when the Comforter," that is the Holy Spirit, "when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we never talk about his it. He does this. Now this man says, "I want to have the Holy Spirit and I can't get the Holy Spirit. And what am I going to do?" See, now let me tell you something that happens. If you accept Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. That's how you get saved, is because the Holy Spirit comes and transforms you. And that rotten, dirty, filthy life of ours, it's all taken away, washed away. And he transforms us and he puts us into the body of Christ, the holy, sinless body of Christ. And that act by where he takes us as poor, lost sinners and makes us the children of God. Jesus says you're a child of the devil. If you don't have Jesus, you're a child of the devil. And so we're out of the child of the devil into being a son of God. We're out of darkness into light. And that process by which the Holy Spirit takes us and takes us from this one spot and puts us in the body of Christ is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're baptized into the body of Christ. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all made to drink of one Spirit." 1 Corinthians 12:3. And you say, "Well, I don't feel anything." Maybe you don't. I didn't feel anything. Well, I had accepted the Lord. I was 10 years old. It was just kind of a contract thing. Jesus saying, "If you take me as your Savior, I'll take away your sins." And I said, "Jesus, please come into my heart." I didn't get goose pimples or pricks or anything else. See, lights or nothing. I just asked him into my heart and he came into my heart. Now, some people, when they accept Jesus, they have wonderful feelings and all of that. But you'll never have it until you have the Holy Spirit, whether you have feelings or not. So don't pray to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. That happened when you accepted Jesus. Now our sermon. We want to talk about people. Why do the righteous suffer? And I want to just say this right at the start. If you want to get some more information or you want information, we're going to give the address at the close of the service. And if you want to write to us, you just stay with us. Get your pencil paper and we'll look at that. But here it is. Why do the righteous suffer? Have you ever asked that question? Well, if you haven't, I would guess you're an exception to the rule. Job of ancient days asked that question. The psalmist asked that question over and over. Habakkuk wrote a whole book about it. Why do good people have troubles? Why do these things happen? And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And so first of all, I want you to notice, before we get into it, there's one thing you must really understand, and I'm sure you do, but just to be sure, and that is God is God. And nothing is going to happen but what God allows it to happen. God is still on the throne, and nothing gets by him. He is in charge of all these things. Now, Satan is powerful, and he has a lot of strength and all of that, but he is not as powerful as God. And there's only one that's greater, and that's God Almighty. And you see that played out in the book of Job, where God is talking to the devil. And in the conversation, God says, "Have you noticed my man Job? He's the most righteous man on earth." That's what God said. And the devil says, "Well, yeah, why wouldn't he be rich? You gave him a lot of children. You gave him a lot of property. You gave him a lot of wealth. Sure, he knows what side his bread is buttered on. Of course he loves you. Of course he serves you." And so God says, "All right, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to show you wrong. You take everything that Job has, take it away, and he'll still bless me and love me." And that's what happened, took it all away. But God says, you can take it away. That's all, just take away his property. And he took it all away, but Job loved God. And then the Job is talking to God, and then the devil's talking to God again. And the devil says, well, yeah, he didn't deny you. But if you let me touch him, you let me get on him, and he'll sure curse you. And this is what God said. Satan, you can put your hand on Job, but you can't take his life. You see? And that's exactly what happened. And when he was tested, and Job came out like pure gold. Though he slay me, I will trust him. See? But the point is, God is in control. Always remember that. Nothing happens that God doesn't allow. And so let's look at this. We have troubles and trials. Why do we have them? We have some of them because it's for the glory of God. It's to bring glory to God. Now just think of this. You say, oh, how is it possible to do that? The angels bring glory to God, the cherubim and the seraphim, and he is so great. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. How can we bring glory to him? Well, we can. It's a miraculous thing indeed, but it is true. We can trust to honestly glorify God through our suffering. Some of the brightest testimonies for God have come through people that were suffering. Some of the greatest hymns of the church have come through people that were suffering. Some of the most brilliant lights for the Lord has been through suffering. Some of the most glorious acts that have been done through suffering. For instance, Job, look at how he would promise the Lord. And through his suffering, he brought glory to God because he stood true and he proved Satan to be wrong. Job didn't know anything about it. That was in another place. That was behind the scenes. But he brought glory to God. Paul did the same thing, St. Paul. And he suffered so many things, and yet he gave himself to God, and he became a glorious thing for God. And then think of Paul and Silas. They're in prison, and they're going to be put, in the morning, they're going to be put to death. And so they're chained together, chained in the pit, in this prison. And at midnight, the worst time of the night, that's when the spooks come out, if there is such a thing as spooks, I don't know. But that's the worst time. When the dawn is starting, then the day is breaking, but at midnight. And at midnight, thinking that in the morning they would die, what did they do? They sang praises to God. Sang praises to God. And they glorified God. And when that prison was shaken to pieces and all of them were set free, the jailer came to Paul and Silas and he said, I want what you have. What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. They brought glory to God in the midst of the sufferings. They sang and they praised Jesus. And Peter realized we could bring glory to God through suffering. Listen to him in his first epistle in chapter 4. Peter says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But he says, rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, for that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of. On your part he is glorified. And so these sufferings and these things happen to us, we're going to be able to honor God and glorify God. He says, if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on his behalf. And I can do all things through the sufferings that come. And when I do it in the joyful, happy way, witnessing for Jesus, I glorify his name. And then I think we could put down and watch out now, watch out. But I think that we're suffering because of past sins. Now, if you're going to sleep, wake up and stay with us and listen. If you don't hear any part of the sermon, listen to this because you can sure take it wrong. But we suffer for past sins. So many times when people have troubles, they will say, I know it's because of past sins. And who doesn't? Let's just be honest. How many of us can there be that can't think of some time of some sin we did or something we should have done and we didn't do. The psalmist spoke of this very thing in Psalm 130. He says, if you, O Lord, kept the record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Who could stand? And he answers it in the next verse. And he says, but with you, there is forgiveness. God forgives. And when God forgives, God forgets. Listen to what he says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That is, when you come to Jesus and you ask Jesus to come in and take away your sins, he'll wash them all away. And you'll never see them again, and God won't see them again. And he says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God doesn't charge twice for our sins. When he forgives us our sins, they're forgiven and they're gone, and praise his blessed name. And he doesn't wait for years later to collect on that. But then here's something else. We may live that kind of a life that will hurt this body, and those sins can come back to haunt us and hurt us. You remember what it says in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. He who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap life everlasting. So God will forgive us our sins, but some of the results of those sins come back to haunt us. For instance, here's a man, he lives in open immorality, and later he comes up with AIDS or some disease that he comes out of that sin. Those sins we have to pay for, that broken body. And I remember it as plain as day, a young lady and her dad is dying of lung cancer. He's about 60 years old, and the girl is a teenager, and she's mad at God because God is taking her dad away. But what did dad do? Started as a boy smoking us like a stovepipe, and he smoked and he smoked and he smoked and he died of lung cancer. That's not God's fault, and God can't give you new lungs. And so maybe some of these things, sufferings come because the way we lived and that body is destroyed, that body is hurt. Then sometimes God does it to make the saints better, the betterment of the saints. And in Hebrews chapter 12, here told, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 12, 6, he says, if you're a child of God, you'll have to expect a little of the hardships too. He says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He scourgeth every son he receiveth. Did you hear that? He scourgeth every son, every child whom he receiveth. And why does he do it? He does it for our own good, to make us better, to make it so we can live with ourselves and we can live with somebody else. He does it so that we can bring glory to our Lord. He brings us to make us more pure and more strong, to make our faith strong. He puts these troubles and trials in our way so that as we make these battles, you can't be a veteran without being in the battle. And we all want to be veterans for Christ, soldiers for Christ. So we're going to have some of these sufferings, and it might be ailments. And so God tells us, in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, you just take that, and when those things come, you don't say, now, God, why did you do this? Now, God, what did you brought down on me for? I'm trying to do the best I can. Look at what St. Paul, he lived for the Lord. He gave his life to the Lord. He was stoned. He was beaten. And Lystra, I think it was, he was left for dead. And some people think he was dead, and God raised him up. And he went through all of these things. And now here he's praying that God will heal him. And God says, and he prayed three times. And God says, Paul, don't pray for healing. I'm not going to heal you. Called it a thorn in the flesh. I'm not going to heal you. And so what did Paul do? He says, oh, big deal. I give you my whole life. I suffered for you every way, and you give me a thorn. You know what Paul did? I glory in my infirmity, and I'll hold it like a flag. And he honored God because in his sickness, he was praising God. And so God brings those so that we can suffer for him, so that we become more like Christ. and live for the Lord. That's why when you see these people, there's some people suffer, die, and we don't know why. We don't know why they suffer. We don't know why they have these troubles and trials. But, well, listen, I've got a list of them here. Stephen faithfully preached. He was stoned to death. James the Great of the apostles, he was beheaded. Philip was scourged, thrown into prison, crucified. Matthew, slain with a halberd. James the Less, when 94 years old, beaten by the Jews, stoned, and finally had his head all bashed in. Matthias, stoned and beheaded. Andrew, crucified. Mark, dragged to pieces by the people of Alexandria. Peter, crucified, head down, feet up. He said he wasn't worthy to be crucified the same way as Jesus. He loved him, admired him so much. He wanted to be crucified head down. That was his request. Paul had his head cut off with a sword. Jude was crucified. Bartholomew was beaten and crucified. Thomas was stoned, thrust through with a spear. Luke was hanged on an olive tree. Simon was crucified. Only the Apostle John is the only one we know of that died of old age naturally. Now, why do these things happen? Why do you know? We don't know. And we don't need to know. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. And we don't question God. The only question God, when we have our troubles and trials, the only question is we ask him, dear God, dear Jesus, what are you teaching me? What do you want me to do for you? You don't say, why did you do this? You have the audacity to do such a thing. And so there's one thing. I want to leave you with this. One thing for sure. God loves us. God, I don't know why these sufferings come. I don't know why your little child was taken home. I don't know any of these things. But I know this. I know that God loves us. Even when things go wrong, when the sorrow overwhelms us, when the baby is sick and when the calamity strikes, does God know? Does God care? Yes, he cares. Yes, he knows. The Old Testament Israelites ask that question. Does God care? Does God know? Why do these things happening? Because the city was destroyed and they were taken captive into Babylon. And does God care? That was a low point in Israel's history, and they didn't know which way to turn. And in Psalm 49, the people were saying, the Lord has forsaken us. The Lord has forgotten me. But here comes the answer in Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. Listen what God has to say to his people. This is what he says. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands, the nail-pierced hands of Jesus. Your walls are, and you're all ever before me, and I love you. God is going to take you through. He's going to carry you through. Lean upon Jesus. And so when you have these troubles and your trials, you can do one of two things. You're sick. Maybe some of you are sick unto death and you're mad at God. You can get mad at God or you can love God. And you choose what it's going to be. And you're some say, well, I don't understand that God. I don't understand why this happened. I'm done with God. So this is what you're doing. You're giving up what you know for something you don't know. Now, is that very smart? You're giving up God. And you're going to the devil's hands. That's what you're doing. And so when these troubles come, you say, dear Jesus, what do you want to see? What do you want me to see in this? Maybe he wants you to be more patient, more kind, more loving, more understanding. I don't know. And maybe we will never know in this life. But when we get there, we'll say, oh, yes, I can see it now. But you have to have Jesus in your heart to do that. And you say, I want Jesus in my heart. How do I get him in my heart? He says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. I'm asking to come into your heart, Revelation 3:20. And he said, Jesus says, as many as accepted him, received him, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become something they weren't, become the children of God. And so you ask Jesus, Jesus, please come into my heart and I take away my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. And I'm going to forsake them and turn against them. Jesus taught repentance. And then you thank him. And if you do that, then you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We will send you literature. Well, no matter where you are in the world, we'll send it free and postpaid. But during the meantime, read the Gospel of John and find a church where they're preaching the Bible. And then you write to us, and if you want to have the new song, just write for that. We'll send a free little Bible study every month. And maybe, and you need to help us. You need to pray. Dear, we're dependent on God's people. We don't have any organization or any denomination behind us at all. It's just God's people. And so God's saying, you need to help them. So this is what you do. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Nigeria. And so, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the multitudes that are coming to you right now, entering the kingdom of God. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. Give them faith and strength and help them to know that you are there and that you love them and that their example is a great encouragement to us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're just so happy to be with you and so glad to hear from you. We'd like to get your letters. We need to have your gifts. Just do what God lays on your heart. And maybe he'll say, I know you can give it to somewhere else, but maybe there's someplace else. But you need to pray. And remember this, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. So every penny is accounted for. So it's been wonderful being with you. We just look, I'm excited every weekend when we get to come back and be in your home. And I'm going to see you in heaven if you have Jesus. And so just put your faith in Jesus, then write to us. And when we get to heaven, we'll gather around the throne of God and we'll see God face to face. And won't that be something? So you tell your friends to tune us in and pray for us as we pray for you. Pray for this film that it'll go out into the world and it'll bring multitudes to Jesus. And may the end result be that God is pleased and God is glorified because we pray it in Jesus' name. God bless you. See you next weekend.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.